You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Oakland, California, where the Guardians are opening their season with a four-game series against the Oakland Athletics. Coming up a little bit later on in our show, we will visit with two pitchers who made the ball club as non-roster invites at the end of spring training. A familiar name, to be sure, to Guardians fans, Carlos Carrasco. We'll hear from Cookie in just a little bit. We'll also check in with Director of Player Development, Rob Serfolio, and get the lowdown on Jake DeLauter's spring and how he sets up for the season to come, and also get a preview of the Columbus Clippers. But first, a look back at opening night in Oakland. Thursday night, the Guardians looking to get off to a good start in the managerial career of Stephen Vogt. And you can't do much better than have Shane Bieber on the mound on opening night. He's been terrific in his four prior opening game starts for the Guardians, and Thursday was no different. In his fifth consecutive opening day start, which tied a franchise record, he looked sharp early.
Here's the payoff. Swing and a miss. Got him again. So Bieber strikes out the side. Oakland gets a base hit, but no damage. Now the 2-2. Swing and a miss on the heater. Bieber has struck out six, or through two.
The Guardians would get Bieber some run support starting in the second inning thanks to a pair of doubles, first David Fry and then Tyler Freeman.
The pitch. A swing and a line drive, base hit to left center. That'll score David Fry. It's in the gap, cut off by Blade. Throws to second, head first slide, safe with a double is Tyler Freeman. And the Guardians take a 1-0 lead. And Freeman literally beating out Miles Straw for the center field job, at least part of the time, comes through with an RBI double in his first at bat. And that is part of why Tyler Freeman was asked to learn how to play center field and why he's getting a chance to play multiple positions because of his bat.
And the offense really got it going in the fourth with the bases loaded and Andrés Giménez at the plate.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, line drive, center field. That gets down for a base hit. One run will score, that's it. Coming across is Naylor. Fry advances to third, everyone else moves up. And it's an RBI single from Andrés Giménez. His first hit on the season, drives in a run, and the Guardians now lead it 2-0.
And then Austin Hedges came through.
Big pitch in this game. Payoff pitch coming to Hedges. Here it is. Swung on, ground ball to short. Backhand pickup, Allen. One play, it's at first. And he pulls the first baseman off the bag. All hands are safe. And two runs will score. It was a slow roller in the hole between third and short. Allen got to it. The shortstop charging in. But his throw to first pulled Noda off the bag, and he couldn't control it. And Hedges is safe at first base.
And after that, it was Brian Rocchio capping off the big inning.
Here's the pitch to Rocchio. He swings and grounds it to third over the bag. Fair ball down into the left field corner it goes. Rounding third, heading for home. And scoring is Giménez. Hedges will try and score two, and he will without a throw. It's a two-run double for Brian Rocchio, and the big inning is on for the Guardians. It is now 6-0 Cleveland, and here comes Mark Kotze. That is it for Wood. Wow, did that blow up in a hurry.
Meanwhile, Bieber stayed hot, continuing to shut down the Oakland Bats.
6-0 Cleveland, the kick and delivery. And a swing and a miss and a slider away. Bieber has struck out 11. Remember, he has the club record for opening day. 14 strikeouts against Kansas City in 6 innings in 2020. Brent Rooker the batter as Shane Bieber. Now at 82 pitches, lets it fly, and the pitch hit high in the air. Fairly deep center, Freeman drifting back. Plenty of room. He'll squeeze it. Well, we'll see if Shane Bieber comes out for the 7th inning. They may feel like 6 is enough. We shall see, but Bieber has been brilliant tonight. We talked about it all spring, and he has followed up that talk with the way he's pitched tonight. Man, does he look good.
And then the Guardians added to the lead in the 9th inning, thanks to Jose Ramirez.
The set, the pitch. Swung on, belted, deep right field. It's got a chance, off the wall. Cares back toward the infield. Kwan hits third, he's coming home. Ramirez makes the turn on his way to third with a stand-up triple. He hammered it halfway up the 15-foot wall in right. And an RBI triple by Jose Ramirez makes it 7-0 Cleveland here in the 9th inning. And boy, everybody is getting into the act. And the Guardians, if you wanted to draw up a near perfect scenario for opening night, this would be it.
David Fry's sack fly brought home Ramirez to make it 8-0. And then Nick Sandlin came on to finish things up in the bottom half of the 9th inning.
So the A's are down to their last strike. And Stephen Vogt's 1 strike away from winning in his Major League managerial debut. Into the motion, here's the 2-2. Check swing, strike 3 called, ball game. And game number 1 belongs to the Cleveland Guardians as they dominate the Oakland A's here tonight in the season opener, 8-0.
So a satisfying win for the Guardians, the first in the managerial career of Stephen Vogt, and Shane Bieber was outstanding. We talked to him before the game, prior to his start, and he talked about the offseason that set the table for him to get off to a great start in 2024.
Yeah, I think the thought process started throughout my rehab process last year. The majority of it came from wanting to go in and get what they call a mocap, like a motion capture picture of my throwing mechanics. See if we could deduce anything from those, and ultimately found out that they were all right. And so it was the emphasis transitioned into building arm strength and getting ready for spring training. So getting ready for the long haul, 30 plus starts, and to stay healthy throughout everything. It's a fun offseason to emphasize and look back upon because my work was different. I always, do my best and work as hard as I can in the offseason, but it's, I think everybody likes to, the headlines come from being able to do something differently and kind of go out on a limb and try something different, and was able to do that and fell in love with the process and the routine of it all. And so I'm very happy with how everything went.
The look into your delivery, were you surprised that it came back okay? Just from the standpoint of, it seems like you have one of the cleanest deliveries in the game, mm-hmm. So maybe it shouldn't have been a surprise.
So I guess it was kind of good and bad, right? Because it's like, I'm not throwing as hard. I feel good. I feel like it's coming out good, and I'm just not seeing the numbers that I want to see. And so, kind of hoping there was a quick fix in there, but there wasn't. So, the transition, the emphasis transitioned over to just building arm strength, working on a buildup, building health and resiliency, and taking advantage of rest days and kind of building those out throughout the entire off season, and that way you could step on it when you needed to step on it and get back used to throwing hard and emphasis on really letting it eat on the days that you could. And I feel like you know, the body just kind of gets used to that, and looking forward to continuing that and keeping it going.
And you alluded to Stephen Vogt a little bit earlier, his first game as manager of this ball club. Transition for the team, a first time that you've been here that there's been a different manager, and how has that transition gone?
Pretty smoothly, honestly. Voter and Albie and Kai and everybody that's come in, you know, we've had some steady points like Carl and Chris and so many others. So it's been a great mix of new along with some steady faces as well, and that brings in some new energy, some new ways of going about things, some new thought processes, and I think that's really clicked for some guys. And so the transition has been extremely smooth. I feel like this spring training has been a lot of fun, and we're enjoying it. We're just chomping at the bit to get going.
Enjoy the season, Shane. Thanks for the time.
Will do. Thanks.
Well, and so much of what Bieber said pregame came to fruition during the game, as he was terrific with the 11 strikeout performance, as he becomes one of the select few to strike out 10 or more in multiple games now as a starting pitcher on opening day. Just terrific work from Bieber. Stay with us as Guardians Weekly continues on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Not to brag, but Progressive's Name Your Price tool is mankind's greatest tool ever. Even better than the wheel. Sure, without the wheel, we wouldn't have modern transportation or funny videos of dogs riding skateboards. But without the Name Your Price tool, we wouldn't have easy access to auto insurance options based on our budget. And, well, cars do need wheels. They also need insurance, and insurance never goes flat. Learn more about the greatest tool ever, the Name Your Price tool, at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jim Rosenhaus back with you on Guardians Weekly from Oakland, California, where the Guardians are opening their season with a four-game series, and it has started very well. As they have taken the first two games of the series, we heard about Thursday night's opener, Shane Bieber dominant and plenty of offense, and they scored some runs again on Friday night in a 6-4 victory, and it got started early thanks to Jose Ramirez.
His next offering, swung and ripped, deep right field, down the line it goes, gone! So much for the swirling wind. A line drive, two-run homer, down the right field line for Jose Ramirez. And he continues to be a thorn in the A's side, and it's 2-0 Cleveland.
The Guardians added one more run in that first inning, thanks to a balk by A's pitcher Ross Stripling. That gave Logan Allen the early 3-0 lead as he made his season debut.
Bases emptied, two down. The pitch swung on a weak chopper to short. Charged by Rocchio. Sets, throws, inning over. Logan Allen with three ground ball outs, and he keeps the 3-0 lead here at the Coliseum.
The Guardians were still in front 3-1 in the fifth inning when Andrés Giménez continued his hot start to the season, stepping in with a runner on base. Here's the pitch to Giménez. He swings and lines it down the right field line. Fair ball headed into the corner. Scoring is Kwan. On his way to second is Giménez, and he'll hang on right there with an RBI double. And the Guardians now lead it 4-1. Later on in the fifth inning, Will Brennan drove in his first run of the season with his first hit of the season. Now the set and the pitch. It's swung on and lined to left, sinking fast, and it gets down for a base hit. That will allow Giménez to score, and Brennan, on his first hit of the season, drives in a run, and it's now 5-1 Guardians.
Oakland answered with single runs in the fifth and sixth innings, but in the seventh, the Guardians' bats went to work again. Stephen Kwan led off with a double, and then Jimenez' big night continued.
The 1-1 pitch, and it's swung on, drilled to right, a base hit, down the line, splashes in the water, bangs up against the wall. In to score is Kwan, and in to second with another double is Andrés Jimenez. And the Guardians now lead it 6-3.
Oakland got a little closer with a run in the eighth inning to make it 6-4. But in the ninth, for the first time this season, Emmanuel Clase came on to try and lock it down.
The pitch. He hits a double play ball to second. Jimenez to second one. Relay by Rocchio. Got him! Double play! Ball game! And the Guardians win the first two here at the Oakland Coliseum. Oakland got a couple of guys on in the ninth, but Class A gets the game-ending double play, a 4-6-3 twin killer. And the Guardians have beaten Oakland tonight by a final score of 6-4.
And after the game, Guardians manager Stephen Vogt talked about the 2-0 start for his ball club.
It's huge. You know, I think it speaks to this offense. It speaks to this team that, you know, whenever we happen to give up a run, we've come back the next inning and gotten it right back. And so for us, that's how we have to play. We have to continue to pad the lead. And that was really good baseball tonight.
What can you say about Hemi, just how he swung the bat the first two nights, but tonight in particular?
I mean, obviously came up in two huge situations where we needed, you know, runner on third, runner on second, execution situations, comes up and hits a double both times. You know, Hemi just continues to put together good at-bats. You know, I know it's been two games, but he had a great spring as well. So Hemi was the catalyst tonight.
Eli struggled a little bit in Arizona. And I know change up Arizona, you never know. But how nice is it to have him be able to pitch the way he did the first two nights?
Yeah, Eli's been great. You know, obviously that's a lot of track record there. You know, we always talk about results in spring training. Sometimes they matter, sometimes they don't. I think with Eli, we know the type of pitcher he is, and he's given us two great performances so far this season, and he's going to continue to get the ball.
With Jimenez, I know you weren't here to see him up close and personal last year, but what's the biggest difference with him maybe this year at the plate than what he was in the past year?
He just looks balanced to me. He looks balanced. He doesn't look like he's over swinging at all. He's just taking what he's getting right now, and you know, he's always been a good hitter, and I think the work that he put in this winter to get his swing back to where he wanted to be. But he's swinging at the right pitches right now, and I think that's the biggest thing.
That Jose Ramirez guy's pretty good, too.
Yeah, he's all right, yeah. No, I mean, obviously, in that weather, you know, it's tough. It's tough to see the ball. It's tough to pick up spin. And for him to hit a homer like that to get us on the board, it just got us all the momentum, gave Logan a lead to take the mound with. And, Jose. And I'm just thankful that he's hitting there.
Stephen, you guys, I think, what, 2-for-2, 2-for-4 stolen bases. Do you like that aggression or the way you ran the bases?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to run the bases aggressive. I thought, you know, a couple of them were close. They could have gone either way. But, you know, we're going to continue to run, and I think that's what's going to happen. Shea Langelier is one of the best throwing catchers in the game, and it took perfect throws to get us. So, you know, I want our guys to continue to be aggressive and in the smart and in the right spots. And you know, we're always going to continue to err on that. You know, we have some smart baseball players, and, you know, I trust them to do what they do.
So a real nice start to the season in Oakland. The series continues on Saturday afternoon with a 4:07 first pitch. Same holds true for Sunday for the series finale. Then it's on to Seattle for 3 and Minnesota for 3 to wrap up this season opening 10-game road swing. Stay with us. When we come back, we will hear from Guardians pitcher Carlos Carrasco returning to Cleveland, and he is in the starting rotation. We'll talk to him about it when we return after this on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network. Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Oakland, California, where the Guardians are taking on the Athletics in a four-game weekend series. Weather permitting, it was miserable on Friday, and the same holds true, at least forecast-wise, for Saturday. And then the series concludes on Sunday afternoon before
And the Guardians pack it up and head up the coast to Seattle for three and finish their season-opening road trip in Minneapolis next weekend. Carlos Carrasco is part of that starting rotation for the Guardians. He came into camp as a non-roster invite on a minor league deal at the age of 37. But after three seasons in New York with the Mets, he was looking forward to coming back to Cleveland, where his best days have happened in his major league career. And he's also been through a lot health-wise as well. We touched on all of that in this upcoming interview, but we caught him shortly after he was notified that he had made the roster, and he talked about that moment.
Yeah, you know, it feels good. It feels good to be back in here, and especially when they call me to the office and say that I made the roster, opening day roster, it was a good feeling for me. I feel so happy because the way that I came here with a minor league contract and the way that I pitched, I earned it. And to receive that, that I made the roster, it was really nice for me, really happy for.
And digging around, 2011 was the first year that you had made an opening day roster here, the mm-hmm. first time around. What do you remember about that day with Manny Acta being the manager at that time?
Oh, I remember the same way they called me to the office and say, you made the team. And I'm pretty sure I was the third star or something like that. And I was really happy because that's our dream, you know, when you come into camp and that they call you and they say, hey, you made the team. It was really nice for me. In 2011, when I made my my first opening roster.
When you look at how things developed here to get back, mm-hmm. You had some time in New York, but how far back were you thinking maybe, hey, it would be neat if I could get back to Cleveland at some point, and whether it's to finish your career or at least continue your career, mm-hmm. that could happen?
I don't know if you guys know, but last year, I almost got straight to here. And I was so happy, but it couldn't happen. As soon as I hit the free agency, we started talking back and forth with Chris Antonelli. And there was my first choice. There was my first choice, and I always have him back in mind when I retire from baseball, I want to do with the Cleveland Guardians.
Obviously, you had to work hard to make this club, mm-hmm. and you come in on a minor league deal, so there's no guarantees. But the fan reaction when you signed, I don't know if you're aware, but people were ecstatic and just assumed you'd be on the team, which yeah. has worked out. But were you aware of that?
Yes. I got so many calls. My social media started getting a lot that day when I signed back to the Guardian. And a lot of texts, a lot of social media like Instagram, they were happy. They've been saying congratulations to coming back to Cleveland. They were so nice.
Watching you this spring, it looks like business as usual, but maybe doing it in a different way. Are you a different pitcher than the last time you were here?
Oh, yes. Completely different. Right now, I trust myself more back then. All my pitches, I can say right now, has been crazy. I mean, been saying crazy because I can see all my pitches moving. The way I'm pitching now, learning, you know, coming from New York is it's the same baseball, but the pressure in New York pitching, you had to go around and everything. But just coming here, the way that I was pitching in spring training and everything, this development myself, to getting back the way that I was here in 2017 and 18, I just find it. I just making a little bit of adjustment on that.
And I know that preparation in the offseason, you worked a little bit with Shane Bieber mm-hmm. To try and get to a good place. What was that like, reconnecting with him as one of the few players who's still here from your first time around?
Yeah, it was really nice. Back in January, we was in dry line working together. That's when I started developing my pitches on the slider and the sweeper. So we work every day from Monday to Saturday, sometime on Sunday. Working every day in there, developing the pitches. Just talk to Bieber back and forth. Actually, the curveball that I'm throwing right now is one from Bieber. I just learned that from him. But just developing those pitches that I need for the season. It was really nice.
All right, the important question. We saw a photo, a side-by-side of the first time you were here in 09 when you first made the club. And then the other day, you'd look the same. You're not aging. What is the key to staying young, you think?
Maybe the key is just working every day. I never give up myself. You know, I never give up myself. After what happened in 2019, I said, listen, I'm just going to continue work hard. No matter what is take me, no matter what condition I am, but I just want to continue to work hard, just doing my physical thing, running every day. That's the main part for me, so I can get it more resistant and the exercise.
It might not be fair to call you the clubhouse prankster, but you like to have fun. And how big a key is that, especially with a young team now, and you're an elder statesman on that team?
Listen, I've always been like that, trying to have fun. I said before, it's a long season. We spend a lot of time together here. I honestly spend more time with my teammate than my own family. And I just trying to be that guy so they can laugh and they can forget about a little bit of baseball. Because every time we come in here, everything's baseball. We turn on the TV, it's baseball in there. So I just trying to do something a little bit different to get it going.
Carlos, great to see you again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Carlos Carrasco, one of the nice guys in the game, and it's great to have him back in that starting rotation for the Guardians. Stay with us on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Jim Rosenhaus back with you for our final segment of Guardians Weekly from the Oakland Coliseum. Guardians off and running with a 2-0 start to their season after two games. Games 3 and 4, Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 4:07. Meanwhile, AAA Columbus is underway. They got their season started, or at least attempted to, this weekend in St. Paul, Minnesota, with a series against the Twins AAA ball club, but obviously in conditions that were a little bit chillier than normal that you would expect at this time of year. But when we visited with Rob Serfolio for our preview about AAA Columbus, we first talked about the talk of spring training. Chase DeLauter, the former number one draft pick of the Guardians, who has very limited minor league time due to injury, just got back on the field late last summer and then played in the Arizona Fall League. And wow, was he something else during spring training. Even though he was not in major league camp, he saw plenty of action in major league games, and did he impress. A tremendous spring for DeLauter, with many fans wondering, would he be in the big leagues to start the season? But when we visited with Rob Serfolio, he talked about the importance of still more development time for DeLauter.
I think everyone in the organization, Chase included, was really fired up about the spring that he had. And not just because of the way he performed. I think even more importantly is getting to spend some real time with our major league staff, getting to spend some real time with major league players. Like, you know, for these guys in the minor leagues that have never done morning work next to Stephen Kwan, or, you know, listened to the morning meetings and some of the messages from Voter, like just the experiential impact that that has for, you know, hopefully when these guys do matriculate to the big leagues, like they're that much more comfortable. They know the guys in the locker room, they know the staff. So, you know, coming into spring training, that was what we wanted for this group. He wasn't technically in major league spring training, that is correct, but we had a group of you know, younger minor league players that we expected to go partake in the practices for the first couple weeks, and then when there were game opportunities, you know, we had a group of guys that were ready to go in there and fill needs, and that was the plan with Chase. I think in a really cool way, he obviously performed the way he did, and there were opportunities in the outfield, and the major league staff, you know, wanted him out there. And so he earned every bit of that. It was really exciting to watch. And, you know, I think he, you know, really set himself up for hopefully a great 2024 as a result.
and we're in a day and age where there's no secrets for fans anymore. They know what's going on. They see the stats, and they wonder, why can't he be on the major league team right out of spring training? Explain where he's at in his career and why he needs to start at Double A this season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, those narratives are always fun. Like, I think if we put him in a major league game, as we saw, he could go compete in a major league game today. And ultimately, these things are really difficult. There's never a black and white, this is the right answer, yes, no, this is where the player needs to go. What we try and do our best at is just assess where the player is. Came into last year in a shortened season, battled injury the first half, showed up in Lake County, and was fantastic. Got a small taste of Double A last year for about a week, played in the fall league, did a great job, and then came out and really burst onto the scene for, you know, a lot of fans that probably knew his name but weren't tracking maybe to the degree of skill set that he had. And ultimately, we just feel right now in chatting with him, using all the people across the org, that he's got a great opportunity in Double A to go out there and play a lot of center field, a lot of right field, and hopefully do some of the same things that we just saw over the last month, and things will take care of itself after that. But we feel like that's our best opportunity for him to play the positions defensively that he needs to continue to work and get better, and also just, you know, our best guess at what the right location is out of the gates, knowing that this is a guy that's really talented. And when you have guys that are really talented like that, oftentimes they show you quickly, you know, what the following steps should be.
Believe it or not, this is the Farm Report and not the Chase DeLotta Report. But it's been fun to watch him play, and obviously we could talk about him for a long time. But let's get to the teams in the system. Columbus will start first. Let's start with the pitching at Columbus. It's interesting because there's some injury issues going on, so your rotation might not have as many familiar names.
Yep, that's correct. We have a lot of young players on our 40-man in general on this roster. I think a guy that fans saw in spring training and throw really well, we were excited about, you know, just where Joey is with everything. Cantillo, you know, unfortunately had a little bit of a hamstring flare up here just over the last couple of days ahead of the team breaking. So he'll stick behind. He'll work through a little bit of a rehab progression here in Arizona, with the hopes of, you know, a couple weeks down the road, he'll rejoin that group. And then, you know, Will Dion, a guy that really dominated in Double A, actually started the last year's season in High A, but was one of the best pitchers in the Eastern League last year. We'll be on that team with a collection of guys that are going to go have a great opportunity to start. A guy in Gillespie that we got in the minor league Rule 5, and then a couple other internal guys that have really just continued to develop. Some guys we brought in, like Aller, and then, like a name like Hunter Stanley, that has continued to just really get better and stay healthy over the course of his career, that, you know, have an awesome opportunity ahead of him to get some early outings in AAA.
And a back-end guy like a Franco Alamon, excited to see him get going?
Yeah, he's an exciting arm with just electric stuff and back into the bullpen mentality. He'll start there as well after, you know, another a dominant stint in AA, and it'll be a fun challenge to see him get his first taste of AAA baseball.
And position player-wise, these are going to be names that are familiar to fans who are listening to spring training games. Man, it's a lot of good talent that seems to be getting closer by the day.
And that's really the message we left those guys with, is you're that one phone call away. So, you know, spring training is such an interesting time for this AAA group in particular. No one wants to be told they're going to AAA. So we talked about this with our guys of what are the things that they can do to take their game to the next level, so when that phone call does happen, that they are the clear-cut choice to be that the person on the receiving end of that phone call of, we have a major league opportunity. So an exciting young group that I think these guys have been around for so many years that oftentimes, like, people in the building and maybe the fans as well, just forget the age of Noel and Brito and Tana, and even guys like Daniel Schneeman who burst onto the scene a little bit, you know, from a public sense here in spring training. What a talented group. And then you got Manzardo, you've got Jonathan Rodriguez, like just a handful of guys that are that one step away that hopefully get off to a great start here in AAA out of the gates and make that phone call that much easier to make for voter, whoever it is on the other end of the line, when a major league opportunity pops up.
Let's stay with Daniel Schneeman for a minute. Not on the radar from the outside, but I know he was on the inside, sure. And you've known about this kid for a while as he's progressed through the system. What can you tell us about him prior to this year's spring training that maybe indicated that something like the spring he had could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are the stories that are really fun for us. You know, a 33rd round pick that from the day Schnee got here, effort, attention to detail, care, like just all things that he's embodied from the start. And you get picked 33rd in the draft, essentially 1,033rd round. That round doesn't even exist anymore. 1,000 players go before you're picked. So there were things in his game that when he got here, he knew he needed to get better at, and we really tried to work on him with. A lot of that was offensively, of just like being able to impact the ball more. So he had some traits in the draft that we thought we could build upon, and that was really where we set his focus. And he did a great job. Like, he was a great infielder from the start. We added versatility to his tool belt so that there were just more pathways to get into the lineup. He can play center. He can play the corners. He can play a really good shortstop, third base, second base. And he's even stood over at first for us. So that type of profile is exciting. And just to see him get the most out of his career, the work he put in the offseason, a lot of our camps here with our hitting group to really put on the strength and athleticism that he needed to be able to put a charge into the baseball like he's been doing. And so, you know, I think last year, two off seasons ago, we really challenged him with, what do you need to do physically to be able to consistently impact the ball offensively? And this is a guy that came back like 15, 20 pounds heavier, with most of that being fat-free mass and strength and power gains. And he's really put that into play, and it's been awesome to see, you know, just the, like you said, the greater Guardians fan base getting some eyeballs on him, because he's earned it.
And we'll conclude with Columbus. You have a manager there who knows his way around the AAA level, arguably one of the hardest levels to be a manager in all of baseball. And what makes Andy Tracy so good and has you confident going into this season?
Yeah, I think first off, it might be the hardest job just in baseball. And we are incredibly lucky to have Trace, not only because of his experience as a player, that's huge and a competitive advantage for us, I feel. He knows what those players are thinking when things are going great. He's been the guy that's kind of been sent down many times before, in those thoughts that players have of, I'm in this alone and, you know, the org's out to get me, or whatever the narratives are. Like, he has felt all those things as a player, and just his ability to use his experiences for the better with our players is awesome. And I just think we're incredibly lucky from a staff standpoint of, again, his experience as a player and coach now is like, he's been doing this for a long time. We've challenged him with new staff, guys that have played, guys that haven't been at that level yet, and just his willingness and impact on his peers, I think, is where I really just enjoy getting to call him a teammate and see how he's able to continue and grow himself, but also impact others around him, is a competitive advantage for us in AAA.
That is Rob Serfolio, the Director of Player Development for the Cleveland Guardians, and that will do it for this week's edition of Guardians Weekly. As always, thanks to Brian Motze for all of his help in putting together our shows each week. Until next week, when we join you from Minneapolis, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.